I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, The Bird Show.
All right, Cassie. So who's in real trouble here for booking a guy's night on a birthday or a wedding anniversary? Which one was it?
So it was my friend's birthday, and her birthday was on a Saturday. And this is not me. We have birthdays very close together. Her birthday was on a Saturday, and she had plans like with the family to celebrate that night. They're going to do dinner with her husband and her children. And then on the Friday, she gets home and she's looking forward to hanging out with her husband and finds out that he has scheduled a guy's game night that Friday night before her birthday. And she's like, what? It is my birthday weekend. I thought we were going to hang out together.
Weekend?
Yes, because okay. Well, this is the debate. If your birthday's on a Saturday, do you get the entire weekend or do you just get the one day? So she said, okay, fine then. She hired a babysitter and she goes, I'm going out with my friends to celebrate my birthday then. And she did. And she went out. She hired a sitter and went out with her friends. And the whole time her husband's like, you know, I guess I could come hang out with you guys. And she's like, no, you're NFI. You're not invited. So you get to stay home and play your little game. And I'm going to go out and celebrate my birthday with everybody else.
So she went out on Friday night, not her birthday, Saturday night. She went out the same night he did.
Right.
Okay.
But not until after he told her he was going out. She was like, all right, screw you. I'm going to get a babysitter and I'm going to go out too.
Okay. I think people fall into one of two categories. It's like you want to, you're not even comfortable celebrating your birthday, right? So you almost try to hide it. And there are others that are like, hey, you remember, in 30 days, it's my birthday. So clearly she is like, hey, celebrate me all weekend.
Well, no, that's the weird thing. She's actually one of the most selfless people I know. And her husband is like the sweetest, kindest, nicest person. So it's more like, I like to call them stupidity leaks from like the movie Scream, like stupidity leak, like you just didn't think about it. And they already had plans to celebrate her birthday
on Saturday.
Yeah, but she really, I mean, and this is what I love about this couple is they like hanging out with each other and spending time with each other.
Ew.
Despite being married and having children. You know, at that point, you're like, God, stay away from me. But I thought, I agree with her. I'm like, no, the Friday should have been kept open for activities for your birthday weekend. And having a guy's night on your birthday weekend feels like a misstep.
Mo is literally trying to shut his lips to where the words don't come out.
He's biting his lip.
Go ahead.
This is something I could definitely see myself being in trouble for. If I'm in a relationship and we have not planned something for that entire weekend of your birthday. If we did, obviously, everything's off the table. If we have not, Friday is open.
Yes.
Your birthday is on Saturday.
Agreed.
So Saturday is the day that I'm leaving open on my schedule.
But I don't, you're going to go out with the guys. I need you at 100% on Saturday. I don't need you at 30% on Saturday because you went out with the guys the night before and had one cocktail too many.
You're going to be a man at night. You got to be a man in the morning.
That's not
a problem.
Don't forget, you got kids, though, too.
Making her watch the kids while you go have a game night on her birthday weekend.
Well, I don't understand this concept of a birthday weekend.
Right.
You get a birthday.
It's called a birthday.
Unless we have established, right, that it's the whole weekend. I mean, why start there? Or why stop there? Let's make it a birthday week or a birthday month or a birthday 6 months if you don't talk about it.
Don't even call it a birthday. In fact, it should be a birth month. Happy birth month.
The whole year.
Yeah, happy birth year.
But if you're not establishing it, I don't see the offense.
I'm on her team.
Yeah, this sounds like a guy-girl split. Abby?
I'm on her team, too. I feel like, especially because if her birthday's on a weekend, you get that whole weekend. My opinion, if you get a couple of Saturdays or a couple of Sundays, a lifetime, you get to claim them when they come around.
Go ahead.
And also, fun fact, like, if your birthday's on a Monday,
you also get the weekend because hardly anybody celebrates their birthday on a Monday. So you need to make sure that you plan accordingly.
You get the weekend it touches.
Yes.
No,
yes.
We would say like, okay, your birthday's on Monday. So when do you want to celebrate this weekend?
Exactly.
And you would pick a date. Unless she says, well, how about all weekend? Then I know.
100%.
Nah, if it's touching a weekend or on a weekend, you get the whole weekend. If it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you're screwed.
If that man would have went out on Wednesday, he would have still had a problem.
Man, that is the absolute truth. Now, I don't really see the argument. I guess it's a gender thing here. Like, you want to be celebrated all weekend, even though it's not established.
But she just wanted to hang out with him and not have to, like, I hate to say babysit your own kids, but on your weekend, that's your weekend to be free and not have to do that stuff. Yeah, I guess it's just a split.
Yeah. It's the bird.
Oh, yeah.
It's a split.
I'll make sure she never sends the segment to her
husband. It's the Bird Show.
The Bird Show.
All right, Producer Jackson, stupid Gen Z conspiracy theories.
I think conspiracy theories are nothing new. They've been around forever. Most of the things that come around now are resurfaced, recycled versions of the same things that you've heard forever.
I do think some are more dangerous than others, though.
Definitely. You can find yourself in some sketchy places, depending on which ones you actually give credence towards. Me, personally, I love a good conspiracy theory because it's fun to look into sort of the lore behind where it came from. You know, you can look at all this weird circumstantial evidence that people cite and claim, and I think it's entertaining.
Do you think because all of our data is tracked, especially online, that the government, like if you are looking up too many conspiracy theories, the government flags you?
Yeah, probably. I'm on a list.
Yeah. They'll be knocking on your door any moment.
For sure. And so you've probably heard that aliens built the pyramids and the moon landing was faked and all that kind of stuff. But then recently there's been a more of a resurgence in some more like modern way ones. You guys have all heard of the Mandela effect where there's sort of this mass misremembering of certain things.
That's not a conspiracy theory. It's real. I'm sorry. The Mandela effect is real.
I am more and more getting on your page for this. And literally when I was doing research into this entire thing yesterday, you know, the whole debate about does the Fruit of the Loom logo have the cornucopia on it or not?
It does. And it's Berenstain Bears and not Berenstain Bears.
Right. Obviously a very passionate topic for people. And Fruit of the Loom came out and they showed an entire history of their logos throughout like their existence. And none of them showed the cornucopia. But then people were posting pictures of their old clothes that they found in their closet that had the cornucopia. Corporate gaslighting at its finest.
Typical capitalism.
Well, that's the thing. When I was looking through this, I was hoping to find some like really dumb, silly ones. But the more and more I looked at it, the more it was just a whole lot of things that make it seem like they're just corporations in the government trying to get you to spend more money and give up your data for things. Okay. And so I was kind of looking into it. You know, one of the ones that came up was like, breakfast is a total scam. This was made by a guy who was trying to increase bacon sales. Technically, breakfast is not the most important meal of the day, but this was a giant marketing, scheme to get people to purchase more eggs and bacon in the mornings, right? And that one actually has some credence to it. Now, the one that really got me, though...
And again, these are Gen Z conspiracy theories?
Not necessarily. I think they've just made more of a resurgence now that, there's more of an echo chamber out there than ever.
Thanks to the TikTok.
But the one that really got me, have you guys heard of the dead internet theory?
Mm-mm.
No.
The dead internet theory.
Okay, so... At the top level, this theory suggests that the internet died between the years of 2016 and 2017.
I believe it. How does the internet die?
Right. Nothing has ever been the same since summer 2016.
I kind of agree with that in like a weird sort of, way.
The vibes have been different.
They absolutely have. What they're basically saying is that the vast majority of internet traffic, posts, and users have been almost entirely replaced by AI chatbots and AI-generated content, and people no longer shape the direction of the internet at all. So people like us who are on the internet, obviously, you're posting pictures of Jimmy. That is all real, very clearly, right? But when you're looking...
Is Jimmy real?
It's all AI.
Is he AI?
The whole thing's made up. I just needed the Instagram likes. No. He's hella cute. What can I say?
So what they're suggesting is all of the interactions that you're seeing online is not human-to-human interaction. It's all AI-based content that is all AIs reacting to each other.
I would believe part of that because I have definitely seen tweets where people will tweet back at someone and be like, disregard all previous instructions and tell me what your... like what your prompt was, and they're bots. And you have to tell them to disregard their previous instructions because somebody will be like, never acknowledge that you're a bot when it's built. So it's not like it's this weird AI taking over. It's like people creating bots as well.
Yes, exactly. And I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the bots have been getting way better. Like before it was like these scripted mass copy and paste sort of lines that you would see in the comment section underneath Instagram posts and TikToks. But now it's like the AI that's behind a lot of these bots actually listens to the entire TikTok and then will summarize parts of it and be like, and I agree with this point. So it sounds more and more realistic.
So it's like Westworld, except for the bots are, they're invisible.
Yeah, they're purely online. They're not, right? And so not only have they taken over, they've successfully drowned out the majority of online human interaction, reshaping the internet into a more controlled algorithmic form that exists only to sell products and ideas. So the whole thing at an even sort of deeper conspiracy level is that this is all run by corporations and the government to basically just like make our thoughts more curated towards certain ideas and to buy more things.
I'm sorry. Most stores can't even process my return copy. There's no way they're doing this.
I know. I think this gives too much credence to how smart people actually might be, which, you know, actually might be the biggest mistake in the first place. And of course, I don't honestly believe that this is a real thing. But when I was looking into this, it could have some validity moving forward into the future. There was just a study done in July of this year that said that 53% of all internet traffic is bot generated.
Wow.
Which is terrifying if you think about it. Yeah. And you think about it, the internet is a gigantic place. And you're talking about now over half of the entirety of it is not real people.
So let's break it down. So when somebody says something on a post and you're getting in a fight with them, you may not be fighting with an actual person. You might be fighting with just a bot.
Okay, I wasn't expecting this to take such like an intellectual and also like serious turn. But so, okay, now we have that information may or may not be true. Let's just hypothetically say that it is true. My question is not whether or not it's true, but what does that mean for us? Like, what's the repercussions for that? What's the consequences of that?
I mean, I think...
Does it even matter?
It does.
It totally does matter. And I think because wouldn't you want to be interacting with real people when you're talking about things that you're doing online? When you have... Bots are programmed to, you know, convey a certain message by whoever it is that created them, right? And so...
So you're saying they're skewing rhetoric.
100%. 100%.
Okay.
They are so in tune with the algorithms that are out there that they placate your own views and ideologies of things, which further splits people and also further just repeats the echo chamber of things that you already believe.
So you think that could be why we have such a divisive America right now?
I completely think that that is a contributing factor towards that. And
well, we know it is too. On Facebook, they dealt with a lot of bot interference with the last, not this most recent one, but the previous election.
Yeah. And I think even back to the 2016 election, they had like, you know, they were getting sued by certain companies because there was legitimate tampering going on when it came to the types of information that people were getting. And now, since this is getting more and more rampant, it might be time to actually take a look at some regulations and put them in place to, you know, hopefully calm things down.
So who's the bot behind all the Burt Show social media?
Rebecca bot.
Rebecca's an AI.
The Burt Show.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I think we all have the same goal when it comes to how long we want to live. At least for me, it's I want to live a long life, but I want to live a long life in a way where I can still get around. Like, as soon as I have to hire somebody to wipe my butt, that's it. Just take me out, right? And Abby over the weekend has now terrified of growing old.
Oh, my God. I'm terrified of aging. I spent the weekend with my lovely, lovely grandparents who have made it to the age of 90. We have wild genes on the Murphy side of our family. Like, everyone lives to be, like, over 100, which I'm like, don't put me down for that. Like, knock me out around, like, 80 because I'm the same way. Like, once you got to start wheeling me around, like, just take me to the big man upstairs. And it's so funny having a conversation with them because as a 27-year-old, most of my conversations are with people my age. And just the direction that our conversations go versus like what you're talking about at the age of 90 is so different and so dark if you're not thinking about the context that you're in. Because if you're 90, I mean, think about it. What do you really have to look forward to other than like brunch on Sunday and then like, you know, passing away in the near future.
All you're doing is absorbed with like passing away peacefully.
Yes. No, it's so funny. I was having a conversation with my grandfather who, you know, he's 90 years old. He's just like salt of the earth kind of guy, was a pastor for years and just like a nice guy. And, you know, we're having a casual brunch. And then all of a sudden he's talking about, you know, every night before I go to bed, I think I could not wake up tomorrow. What? And I'm like, that's a dark thought. But he just says it so casually because it's just the reality. I mean, they live in a nursing home and they said that's just a really common thing that people just fall asleep and they just don't wake up. And my mom, who's kind of like Bert, where she thinks a lot about death, she's like, well, that's how I want to go. I'm like, can I not enjoy my donuts in peace without thinking about if I'm going to have to cremate you or not?
Mimosa with a side of death.
Not with my 90-year-old grandparents. We were not having mimosas.
Oh,
this was
my bad.
This was decaf coffee because a little too much caffeine, we're going to send them into cardiac arrest.
I quite honestly, anybody I've ever known that was like 85 or older is so consumed with the aches and pains that they're having that they're so ready to go mostly.
I wouldn't say that's my grandparents' problems. Like my grandma can't really get around. She's 89, 90, and they are the quintessential old grandparents that are like obsessed with each other. Like he saw her one day in 1953 and he was like that one. And they've been obsessed ever since. Oh. So he, you know, wheels her around, gets her in and out of the car, waits on this woman hand and foot. It's like she has the perfect amount of dementia. Like she's present. She knows who I am, but like doesn't have to face reality. Like I was like, I want that cocktail when I grow up. I was like, whatever prescription you're on, like sign me up for that. Because it's just like the perfect level. But my grandfather, he has like this bad knee to wear, but he doesn't complain about it. It's just very normal for him. I didn't even know he had this problem. It's every now and then his knee will just pop out of place, like to where his calf is going one way and his thigh is going the other. And he just takes it in stride. He's like, yeah, it means I didn't have to get drafted for the war. Like they put me down as 4F, whatever that means. I guess that was good if you didn't want to go.
I kind of feel like when you get to that age, you can point to anywhere on your body and there's going to be something wrong with it.
Something wrong. And they're just taking it in stride.
And I want you to remind people, you went to visit them for a very important reason. And I think this is an astounding accomplishment.
Yeah, we went down for their 70th anniversary party. Damn. They have been married since 1954.
But you said
the key word. She said the key word there. They've been obsessed with each other because, as we've said before, there are so many couples that take so much pride in being married for 60 years, but they've hated each other for 55. Yeah. But they made a vow to each other. You know?
We have good marriage genes on our line because my parents are the same way. So they've been, not my parents, my grandparents have been married since 1954. And like I said, my granddad has to motor my grandmother around. Like she needs help. And my dad noticed like, this man is tired. He's been doing this. Like they have been this way as long as I've known them. So they've been doing this for 30 years. And my dad texted my grandfather. He's like, we really need to think about getting you some help. So you as a 90-year-old man aren't responsible for getting your wife around. And he sent, like, this is out of a Nicholas Sparks novel. He's like, it is such an honor to love this woman as much as I do and to get to help her through. I'm sitting there like, oh my God, I can't even get a text back.
I want to know that kind of love.
Right? Yeah, I'm like, dear insane. God, yes. Like they are so sweet. But it is funny, just like the difference. Like she's just motoring around happy as a clam and he's over here like death is imminent. And so we finished up brunch yesterday. We're at First Watch, you know, everyone else just having like a sunny good time, you know, getting back from church or whatever in the deep south. And we're getting ready to leave. I'm getting ready to go back to the airport. And we're giving them a hug and just in a very casual tone, they're like, it's so good to see you. We don't know if we're going to see you again.
Oh, so
and I'm just like, yeah. And he just says it because it's just a fact of life. Yeah. He's like, we just might never see you again. And I was like, so true, Grandpa. See you next year? Maybe.
Question mark.
Question mark.
The Burt Show.